Hello and welcome. We are down, if you can believe it, we're down to our last three lectures. We're down to our last teaching, and I am so happy for you that you've made it this far. You've invested a lot of time listening to me. I thank you for that. I hope that this has been a helpful process for you, that along the way that the Lord has stirred some things in you. That you've got some takeaways from all the lectures and the readings, that certainly not everything is going to connect with you, and certainly even if it did, you couldn't do it all. But I do hope and I pray that as we're nearing the end here, that this has been just a really positive experience for you, and I'm going to try to end this well for you. As we continue our conversation on leadership. So these last three lectures, we're going to be talking about making the most of your leadership and what you can do kind of very practically to get the most of the opportunities that you have as a spiritual leader in your church, your ministry, whatever it is. So let's pray. Lord, as we head into this last section, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, we acknowledge that all wisdom flows from you, and so we pray for that. We pray, Lord, for our leadership. We pray that we might be effective, Lord. We pray that we might be wise. We pray that we might be helpful to others. And God, give us the greatest joy of knowing that we have been used by you to accomplish your purposes. We love you. Amen. Okay, so this lecture is called body building, and we're not going to be talking about doing bench presses or curling weights or anything like that. We're going to be talking about body building in terms of the church building up the body of Christ as just a real great opportunity that you have as a leader. And certainly this is really critical in terms of revitalization, is making the most of your leadership and building up the church. Okay, this is really kind of the heart of revitalization. Now, in Scripture, as I'm sure you know, we've even talked about it in these lectures, that the church is depicted as a body, as a as a physical human body, and it takes many parts to make the body work. Again, you've got a skeletal system, a muscular system, a nervous system, the eyes and ears, and breathing, and everything, and it's this big system that's all held together and works together. And there's many parts that make it work. And so what we're going to be talking about, and we'll get to each of these points in a minute, in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, and if you can open that up either on a phone or a tablet or an old-fashioned actual paper Bible, I invite you to do that. It's just a lot of words for us to get up on the screen and kind of keep flipping back and forth. So I'd invite you to open that up. Ephesians 4 really talks, I think, about the essential task of a leader. Okay, so we know, it's about moving and it's about influence, but getting onto God's agenda and all that kind of stuff. Here's really, though, what exactly am I supposed to do? What exactly does that mean and look like? And really, what it is a call to build up as a leader, is to build up the body of Christ, the physical expression of the church in this world, to build up the body of Christ. So I'm going to read all of Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Again, if you have it open, please read along with me. And then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about a few of these things. We're going to break the verse down into a few pieces. So Paul writes, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So let's break this down. Again, it'll probably be helpful if you've got the text in front of you in some capacity. If not, that's all right. We'll do our best. So it says, you know, the Lord gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It gave all of these gifts to individuals to do what? God has gifted people. He's given spiritual gifts to people for what purpose? It says to equip his people for works of service. So whatever gift I have, whatever gift you have, this ultimate purpose is to use it to equip others. Okay? And it says, until we all reach maturity. So my task is to use my gift to equip other people to be involved in works and in service, and in doing so until they reach maturity. And then he says at the very end, so that every part does its work. Every part does its work. So we might say, according to Paul, that the real measure of leadership is how many people you are equipping to do works of service. How many people are being brought towards maturity in their own life, in their own obedience to Christ. And a measure of a good leader is how well is everyone working towards this. Okay? I think this is really, really important because in churches, you know, people are looking for the pastor to kind of be the all-star, to be able to do everything, to be to the be-all, know-all, do-all dynamo person who can like transform everything and is gifted at all things. And we're not. I mean, nobody is. I'm certainly not. There's areas that I'm good at. There's areas I feel equipped and gifted at. But then there's areas I don't. Just in that sense, it's a false idea of what a pastor or a leader in a church should be. But really, what Paul says, it's about equipping and really kind of multiplying the number of leaders and people that you have in your ministry, right? So if we want to think of this in like maybe like a sports analogy, your role as a ministry leader is not to be like the all-star player who scores all the points and who's the big hero. And again, that's what, you know, people might be looking at you to do. Your role is far more like a coach who recruits people onto a team. Think of like a college football coach or a college sports coach who they go out and about and they recruit players to join their team, right? They're trying to get people. They need to put people out on the field or out on the court, and they recruit them. And they see something in them that says, hey, you would be really good to be part of this team. Or we're missing this. We're missing a good defender. Or we're missing a real fast guy. Or we're missing a girl who can play goalie really well. And they go out and they recruit and they bring these people on board. And then what they do is then they coach them. They practice together. They give them ways that they can develop, and all along they're building them up. So is when somebody's a first year player versus a fourth year player, they've grown, they've matured, they've become much more effective, and they're now operating out there at a very high level. And they're your older players or your juniors and seniors are now functioning more like coaches on the field because they've been under your instruction or the coaching so much. And that's the idea. So we think about ministry leadership, like that's really kind of what it's supposed to be. It's like a building up, a recruiting, a pulling in, a teaching, all this kind of stuff, and then sending them out and deploying them out onto the field so that they can do what they were made to do, right? Because that's how it works. I've never seen a sporting event where the coach just benches all the players and goes, you know what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it. Or, you know, he pulls some, you know, or just even one person off the field and says, you're doing terrible. I'm going to do it. You're not playing the way I want you to play. Now, maybe in practice they might do something like that, but when it actually comes to it, they're there on the sidelines. And what their joy, what their delight is that they have built up a team that is now functioning well through their leadership, through their guidance, through their instruction, that kind of a thing. And I think that's just such a really important helpful analogy for ministry. That's what the role is. It says, God, you know, Christ himself gave people spiritual gifts in order to equip people for works of service. So your number one role in ministry is equipper. You're helping people grow and develop wherever they're at. I'm going to step in because I'm really good at that. It's, well, you know, that might be, you know, good for you, but it's not good for anybody else. Nobody else is growing. Nobody else is maturing, okay? So we want to get people actively involved and actively, like, invested in what's going on. Maybe another example, if you're not a sports person, is imagine a dance. And I remember going to, like, a middle school dance and, you know, there was, like, on this wall, there was a line of boys, you know, plastered against the wall. And then over here, on the other side of the gym, there was a line of girls plastered there, and nobody was dancing. And imagine you're a teacher in that school, and you want the kids, you know, you want this dance to be a success. Well, you could either, you know, kind of go out there and show off all your great dance moves, but you'd be the only one out there, and maybe you'd be happy showing off what you can do. But what if, you know, wouldn't it be much better if you started, you know, you went over and you talked to the boys and you got some of them out and you got some of the girls out. And then, you know, by the end of the night, you know, everybody's out on the dance floor. They're all having a great time. They're all smiling. They're all laughing. And, you know, you can just be then sitting in the corner, not necessarily out on the dance floor, or maybe you're in the midst of it, but your delight is just seeing all the kids dancing and having fun and knowing, like, you did that. And again, that's the same kind of mentality is, you know, equipper, bringing in people, inviting them, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk about how do you do that? How do you get people on board? How do you get people off the walls and dancing? Whatever analogy you want to use, okay? Let's talk about how do you build the body, okay? And so I've got four here for you. I'm just going to kind of give them to you all at once, and then we'll work through. One is really discerning gifts. As a spiritual leader, you should really have your eyes open for what are the gifts of the people in your congregation. What's obvious? You know, this person has a real gift for hospitality. This person is a wonderful teacher. This person has a gift for intercession. This person is a natural leader, and they have real leadership gifts, and really being aware of that, because if you don't know what anybody's gifts are, how are you ever gonna recruit them? Again, if we go back to the sports analogy, if I have a basketball team, well, I want a really tall guy who's going to play this role, and I want a really good shooter, and then I want to have a guy who's a really good ball handler and good at dribbling and passing. And when coaches go to recruit, they know exactly who they're recruiting for. They don't say, well, I need 10 shooters. Well, no, because we need somebody to play defense. We need somebody to rebound. We need somebody to dribble. We need some people who can set up plays. All that kind of stuff. So coaches recruit very intentionally. Now we don't, they're looking about, I need a guy who can do this, or I need a girl who can do X, Y, and Z. Okay, so the analogy breaks down a little, but I mean, you get the idea. You're supposed to be looking around. Who are these people? How can I equip them? Like, they already have this spiritual gift. How can I equip them for works of service so that they can grow in faith, that they can be obedient to the Lord and have the joy of serving Him? You don't have, it might not be as obvious, and certainly for everybody it's not going to be that obvious, but there's some, and I would say that would be a good place to start. Another tool that you can use that I've used quite a bit through our revitalization process is having people go through spiritual gift assessments and just helping them to discern what it is that how God has formed and fashioned and created them, that they do have a spiritual gift. What is that? And then having them go through that, sit down with them and say, okay, it looks like you're pretty high in this. What do you think about this? And by the way, there's spiritual gift assessments like online, just like the church health inventory stuff. It's all online. It's all free. You can buy some programs. You can come up with your own, whatever. But helping people get a sense of how God has made them and called them and all that kind of stuff. So really helping people discern gifts. And then once they do that, then we start talking about, now how can you use that? How can you plug that in? What way, do we have a ministry here that would be a good fit for you? Maybe there's a ministry in a nonprofit in town, and it's like, you've got a great gift, and it doesn't fit here, but you could serve God by going over here. We can start a new ministry because you're really gifted in this, then, and maybe that's why you're here. God put you here. Okay, so that's really kind of the on-ramp for the equipping, is really helping people understand their gifts, how they could possibly be used for that, right? Going along with that is this idea of inviting people to do it, that's, and creating opportunities. We've kind of touched on this. What are your passions? What are your gifts? How can we use those? Because how many times have we said, I have, there's a need in the church or something, and it's like, it's just easier if I do it myself. It's just easier if I do it myself, right? But if I keep doing it, then nobody else is growing. They're all stalling, they're all like stuck in neutral in their faith development. And I think that's part of why churches stagnate and need revitalization, because nobody's growing, nobody's living out their purpose. So I was just thinking about this recently. One of my boys is learning to drive right now, and he has to get like 50 hours behind the wheel before he can get his driver's license. And that's a good thing, because he needs to, practice driving in the rain and in the snow and at night and in the city and the highway and all that kind of stuff. So we want him to get be as good of a driver as he can before he turns 16 and he gets his driver's license. So every time I'm going somewhere and he's going there too, I always give him the keys. It's like, okay, you drive. Because at this point, I don't need the practice. I've been driving for like 30 years. It's not going to help me like to drive to where we're going. But for my son, it could be really helpful. Like, and in fact, it is. And every time he drives, you know, we'll talk about, oh, you did a really good, you know, merge onto the highway. Or, oh, you didn't put your blinker on. You got to remember to do that. Or he'll ask questions now, what do I do when I come to this kind of a weird intersection? And we'll talk through it and we'll process it. So anytime there's an opportunity for him to drive, I always give him the keys. Like, I don't need to drive, you do. And I think, you know, there's a good parallel there with ministries. There has to be these opportunities that people can get invited in and just and give it a try. Like, are they going to make mistakes? Yes, of course they are. Did you make mistakes when you got started? Yes. My guess is you still make mistakes. I know I do from time to time yet, right? So they need to learn. They need to have opportunities. Now, that doesn't mean they start off as the, you know, head of, like, the most important ministry in your church. You know, find a place that is suitable for somebody who's either getting started out or if somebody's a little more advanced, like what would be an opportunity for them. And we're going to talk more about that in our next lecture. But the idea is getting people an opportunity to kind of do what God made them to do. And that's part of your role is equipping. It's giving people keys to drive and to do, okay? Not just you always being like, I'm driving, everybody get in the back, right? More and more, you want to be on the right side, coaching, encouraging people, giving them the keys so that they can grow and mature in faith, right? That's how they do it, by actually getting involved. And if I've seen, I think, one pattern over and over again in churches that need revitalization, is that it's the work of the ministry is being done by such a slim kind of section. 5, 10, 20% of the people are kind of doing everything. That probably sounds familiar to you. Well, if that's how things are operating, you're going to have a really hard time seeing revitalization across the spectrum. So one of your tasks as leader is this discerning, inviting, getting people involved. And you have to be really intentional about this, right? You have to be really intentional about it. The teaching, that's kind of self-explanatory. You know, you help somebody out. You show them how it's done. You teach them what to do. You know, just like teaching my kid how to drive. All right, you know, when you're here, you got to put it in four-wheel drive. Or when you're going down a dirt road, you got to, you know, drive a little slower because the rocks and the stones, whatever it is, you know, you can teach people. You can teach people how to run meetings. You can teach people all, you know, how to do a Bible study. You can teach people how to teach. You can teach people how to pray. I mean, all this kind of stuff. But being really intentional, again, about who they are, what their gifts are, creating opportunities. Because, again, your responsibility is to build the body, not to do everything for the body, right? My heart is in a very important part of my body, right? I can't live without it. But my heart can't do everything. Like, my heart can't do the function of my lungs. My heart can't do the function of my liver or my kidneys. My heart can't do the function of my brain. And sometimes as pastors or leaders, we try to be that heart that is doing all these kind of things. And no, God has put people right there in your ministry context who can do these other things, who have these gifts. And your job is to cultivate it and equip it and build it so you're all functioning together as a working body. Okay? And then finally, we talked about this at length last time. How do you do all of this? How do you equip people? Because you model it. You show them what to do. You know, it's like, okay, you invite somebody on. Let me do this, and you watch me do it for a while. And then after, you know, a certain amount of time, we're going to flip roles, and you're going to do it, and I'm going to watch you. Okay? I had a very wise person in ministry tell me this. They said, if you do something by yourself, whenever you do something by yourself, you have wasted an opportunity to develop another person, whether it, you know, another leader or whatever. So I think about that. Like, if I'm going to go do a hospital visit, I can always do that myself, but I probably get a lot more bang out of it if I call somebody and say, hey, tomorrow I got to go visit so-and-so in the hospital. Would you mind coming with me? And who am I going to pick? Somebody who I think would enjoy that, somebody who has maybe a compassionate heart, somebody who I think might want to actually do that sort of a thing. And you invite them into that. And so then when I go to the hospital, I'm not just visiting this person, but I'm actually doing leadership development. I'm equipping, I'm building up. And so just being really intentional about those sort of things, you know, don't waste opportunities like, I'll just do it myself. Because every time you say, I'm just going to do it myself, or this is something I do, you're really robbing your people of an opportunity to grow and to develop. So I think really the kind of watchword here is intentionality. And the challenge would be, how much time are you spending, you know, hour-wise or percentage-wise in the course of a week? How much of your time is spent body building? You know, I know you're doing other kinds of things, and you can't spend 100% of your time bodybuilding. I get it. But you do have to spend, I think, a fair amount of time. And you'll be really, I think, really pleased with what happens as you do this, because all of a sudden you have people functioning, you know, at a much higher level. You know, they're growing in maturity, they're enjoying, and by the way, you've just set the model for them that as you do things, you bring somebody else along with you. And so they start doing that same thing, and it really just multiplies. And it can be a very powerful way of expanding not just your leadership, but really expanding the ownership and investment that people have in your ministry. So with that, I'm going to pray for just a word of blessing over all of us. Lord, thanks for this time. We thank you for this calling to be equippers. Lord, we know that we have made ministry leaders and pastoring into so many other things. And God, we confess that we live in an age of a rock star persona for mega church pastors. And we place unrealistic expectations on ourselves, and so do our churches. But God, would you just remind us that it's not about us. It's not about being the star of the show. It's not about being in the spotlight, Lord. It's about running the spotlight and just shining it on you and inviting others, Lord, into ministry. So, God, thanks for this time. And I pray that even as I have spoken through this lecture, Lord, you have brought names of people into the minds and into the thoughts of everyone listening. And they can begin, Lord, doing some bodybuilding to fulfill the purpose you have for your church. Amen.